Our reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 43 to 47. It's on page 886 of your pew Bible if you want to follow along. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
I guess as the first Australian to speak, I should probably say g'day. So g'day everyone, and we do, well I do use that, often we use it, so it's not just made up, which is good. So my name is Brooke Prentice and it's a privilege to be here, so thank you for having me and Jeff and Safina. And I just wanted to share, you heard Pastor Matt say that I'm a Waka Waka woman person, and so this is my country, the place of the native grasslands and grass trees, which is the that tree there is a grass tree, and those trees there are over 200 years old, and that's on my grandmother's country, my country. And then these trees here are bunya pines, and they grow a big seed pod like this big that can sometimes weigh up to 14 kilograms. I don't know what that is in your conversion, but it's very heavy and big, and if it lands on your head, you'll die. But a very nutritious source of nourishment, and we used it to trade and as currency, and very important festival and ceremony took place in there where you had over 40 different Aboriginal nations gather on this country for big ceremony for thousands of years. This is a close-up of the Aboriginal map of Australia, and so you can see Brisbane there, and my country, Waka Waka country, and I've grown up and lived on Gubbi Gubbi country for most of my life as well. So these are the countries that are important to me. So that's a bit of where I come from and what makes me up a bit. And so I wanted to talk today about the power of we, and I call it weaving the ancient and modern tapestry that is Australia, but is the world as well. And I talk about, like what we just did there in that circle, about we create this beautiful tapestry of humanity, and that crosses our lands and our waters and brings us together in the power of we. And so the power of we is in me. It's in you and it's in us. And the power of we starts with me. If it is to be, it is up to me. These are 10 two-little words, two-letter words, and they're little words too. And I first came across this phrase when I was 18 years old. And so I've journeyed with these 20 letters, so 10 words and 20 letters, so you can start to see the accountant in me as well. I've journeyed with this phrase for just over 20 years now. And this phrase has helped me to achieve impossible dreams. It's taught me to listen and learn, and that change starts with me. It's a me that is a Waka Waka woman. It's a me that is a daughter, an older sister, and an aunt. It's a me that's the first person in my family to go to university. It's a me that in Australia is one of a handful of postgraduate qualified Aboriginal chartered accountants. It's a me that is one of a handful of Aboriginal Christian leaders on their way to a master's and PhD in theology, and that's of any denominations. It's a me that is a writer, a speaker, an advocate, a pastor. It's a me that is a follower of Jesus. It's a me that is a neighbour. It's a me that reaches out of a hand of friendship to you. And so the power of we then extends to you. And the power of we means taking action. Action that takes me and you out of our own houses, to our neighbour, to see each other, to form community, and to walk alongside each other. And so the power of we then becomes us.
But for the power of we to truly be powerful, we must understand us. The us is in diversity, not uniformity. When uniformity is sought, it is the dominant culture who decides who is in and who is out. There can be no unity without diversity. The us is not Australia, well, not Australia as it currently is. And this us is probably not the US as it currently is. And when the us is Australia, often it is the Aboriginal peoples who are missing, who are excluded, and somehow we even become invisible. And if the us is this Australia, do you, the international community, realise that this Australia has never entered a treaty or treaties with Aboriginal peoples, the only Commonwealth nation and one of the last liberal democracies not to do so? That this Australia committed genocide, massacring Aboriginal peoples, removing us from our lands and placing us on missions, many which were run by the church. And in 2019, in Australia, the population levels of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples have not recovered to those pre-colonisation, so pre-1788. Do you realise that this Australia enslaved Aboriginal peoples and children? Children were sent out to do hard labour from the age of 10 years old, denied an education, and the government stole wages from Aboriginal people right up until the 1960s this was happening. And in Queensland alone, the state where Brisbane is, it's estimated that those stolen wages are approximately $500 million Australian dollars. Do you realise that this Australia stole generations of children from their families over 18 decades? You might know that the Australian government said sorry 11 years ago, and they said it should never, ever happen again. But today it continues. Aboriginal babies are still being removed from their mothers in hospital and faces systemic injustice. Do you realise that this Australia has its own Black Lives Matter? We call it Aboriginal deaths in custody. And that this Australia has the world's worst life expectancy gaps between Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples. Safina and I can expect to die 11 to 17 years younger than the non-Indigenous population of Australia. This Australia currently wants to bulldoze sacred birthing trees, ancient trees, thousands of years old, for a road, and wants to reduce the status of a national park to a state forest so it can log ancient trees. This Australia does not listen to or learn from Aboriginal peoples. And so in Australia, I ask, does the we that is this Australia actually care? Because in Australia, this we for far too long has sounded like assimilation, protection, advancement. And these are terms actually used by our governments over the decades. And that we sounds like uniformity, fear, inferiority. And I guess the other question to ask is, will the we that is the international community care? And so I ask, imagine if it was a different we. A we that includes you, that celebrates that Australia has the world's oldest living continuing cultures, and that acknowledges and celebrates the Indigenous peoples and cultures of these lands of North America. A we that includes you, that knows that these lands, now called Australia, were the most sophisticated societies the world has ever seen, in 300 nations of peoples coexisting in harmony for over 65,000 years, living sustainably from the lands and waters. And here's your map. This is the map of North America and the Indigenous lands. A we that not only says but actually does love their neighbour as themselves. And that's their people neighbour, your tree neighbour, animal neighbour, land neighbour, water neighbour, sky neighbour, loves their earth neighbour. A we that builds the kingdom of heaven here on earth. A we that says, as it says in Revelation 21:4, he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, where together we shout, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with us. But this shouting of "we" is not some distant time in the future, stuck in Revelation or stuck until the return of Jesus. It is now. The power of "we" is in all of us. The "we" is how the Creator designed us. The "we" is how Aboriginal people see, hear, feel, be. The "we" is knowing all things are connected. For us as Aboriginal peoples of Australia, the Creator passed down our laws. He determined our boundaries. Our knowledge of the Creator goes back over 65,000 years. And one of those nation groups in Australia is called the Nurundjeri peoples, which is the area of South Australia. And there's an auntie there, Auntie Ellen Trevorrow from the Nurundjeri peoples. And they're famous for their basket weaving. When we think about 65,000 years, it's over 2,000 generations of connection to peoples, family, community, and lands. And Auntie Ellen Trevorrow said, "Stitch by stitch, circle by circle, weaving is like the creation of life. All things are connected." In Colossians 2, in the Message, it says, "I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God." As Aboriginal peoples, we know this tapestry. It's the tapestry of community. It's the tapestry of heaven and earth, land and sky, seas and rivers, animals and birds, tree and flower, reef and rainforest, desert and lake. It's a tapestry that is not Aboriginal, but for us, Waka Waka, Gubbi Gubbi, Wiradjuri, Wurundjeri, Wutati, Anangu, Walpuri, Kaurna, Whadjuk, Kamilaroi, Ngunnawal. And as I say those words, there are many Australians who have no idea of these nations as well as I speak these names in this foreign land. And for us in Australia, when we think about all of those nations, it also includes English and Dutch, Scottish, Irish, German, Chinese, Italian, Vietnamese, Sudanese, Syrian. It's a tapestry that is man, woman, young, old, and of all varying abilities. It's a tapestry that uses the threads of every colour of the rainbow. It's a tapestry that uses ancient threads, new threads, and even manages to weave together broken threads. The tapestry is the Creator's. The Creator didn't just knit me in my mother's womb, but he knitted you and you and you and you. And then the Creator wove us together. The power of "we" is actually in the weaving. It's a new tapestry, one that looks more like friend than problem and issue. If it is to be, it is up to me, but imagine the impact if we came together in the power of "we." And so the question is, will you? Will you accept the Aboriginal hand of friendship from a faraway place, across the lands and waters? And as this painting by my sister, my blood sister, Waka Waka artist Jasmine Roberts says, and I hope it beckons to you as well, will you take my hand? Will you listen to my songs? Will you walk with me? Will you help me find truth? Will you help me seek justice? Will you please, please, please take my hand? There are many Australians who still won't take our hand. Someone once told me to remember that we are only one truth, one story, one reframe away from clearly seeing our part, place in the struggle, the path before us, and the call on our heart. The call on my heart is love. Love of a man named Jesus who, through love, challenged the rich and powerful. Love of a man named Jesus who, through love, walked beside the lost, the last, and the least. Love of a man named Jesus who, through love, and in partnership and equality with the Creator and Holy Spirit, created all things since time immemorial, who placed Aboriginal peoples in these lands that are now called Australia and Indigenous peoples in these lands now called the United States of America since time immemorial, and who has been calling us, all of us, into community, requiring us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly, whilst commanding us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength, and to love our neighbour as ourself. Creator Spirit, Lord God, Papa Jesus, they are the power of we. It is me, it is you, and it is us, and we are community all together. Thank you for letting me share this morning. We're going to watch now a video called The Grass Tree Gathering. And Safina, Stuart and I have been part of The Grass Tree Gathering. It was the vision of one of our most senior Aboriginal Christian leaders in Australia, who is now in her 80s and is still serving in ministry, and that's Auntie Jean Phillips. And it was her vision to bring together the next generation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leaders. And we're now a network of over 200 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leaders from right across Australia and all different church backgrounds and denominations. And we had our fourth gathering. We've been going for 6 years. The churches don't fund us. They can't see the importance or need of supporting Aboriginal Christian leaders. So it's mainly non-Aboriginal Christian leaders who've captured this vision. And God is bringing us together on a scale our elders haven't seen in some 30 years. And so it's a very special movement. And we wanted to share this video where 85 of us gathered in Sydney in March last year. And so that you can see the diversity of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leadership. At the end, you've got some Pitjantjatjara aunties who are like an uncle, who are from central desert Australia, who call you to come on the journey as well. And you'll see Safina and I. Then after the video, Safina's going to come up now and explain the painting, and then we'll watch the video. So I'm introducing it all at the one time. So come up, Safina. Safina is an amazing Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leader and artist, as Pastor Matt introduced her, and she's going to tell you where she's from and show you the grass tree painting that she painted for this gathering, and then we'll watch the video.
Thank you. We're sisters, but not by blood. It's such a privilege to... I feel funny in front of this thing. Like there's something between us. Do you mind if I do this? Wait. Do you mind if I take a photo of you? You're all smiling very well. I do that because I want to share with my family who you are. And I get to see you like this. I'll start officially now. My name is Safina Stewart, and I am a Mabiog and Wutiti woman. And so that you know where I'm placed, the bottom circle is where the city of Cairns is. The second circle down is where Wutiti country is. And up in the high area, the largest circle, that's the Torres Straits, and that's where my Mabiog Island is. But I live all the way down in Melbourne, which is right down south. Very cold. I almost know how to cope with your winter. I want to share a little bit of a painting with you so that you can understand the heart and the placement of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leaders. You saw in Brooke's photo a picture of a grass tree. I want to explain to you the significance of this tree for us. When we look out on the forest, we see a supermarket. The grass tree has these very fine, thin fronds that come out. They look like long pieces of grass. If you pull those out when you need to go to bed, lay a whole heap on the ground, lie down on it, put a blanket on top of you, those green grasses will self-combust, providing you an electric blanket with no electricity. If you take the base of the plant, or the base of the frond, take only the white soft area, cut it off, put it in your saucepan, cook it up, you get spaghetti. Combine it with your bush tomato, you get spaghetti bolognese. Or when we used to walk in the bush, we used to just chew it straight, the white part, and we used to call that the bubblegum stick. Can you see the long spear-looking stem penetrating up? On the top of those are tiny little flowers when it's in bloom, They have a very sweet nectar. So if you are very exhausted and you need a Gatorade, you take the tiny flowers and the nectar, put it in boiling water, and it gives you immediate cordial, Gatorade, electrolytes. Your blood sugars lift through the roof immediately. Very important for survival. If you need meat, you can take that spear and actually form a spear. It becomes a weapon. Not a weapon. I didn't say weapon. On the trunk. Stop, I'm embarrassed. On the trunk, if you take the sap, it becomes like a resin, a very firm glue that you can then use in lots of other craft and handiwork, because we need glue to bind things together. The interesting thing about the grass tree is if fire comes or flood comes, it may look like it's damaged the plant. There might need to be recovery, but actually it's got a high survival rate. So these forests of grass trees, if you're walking in the bush, if you know how to use them and you find them, you know that they've done a very, very long life journey. And you also know that they'll sustain you and keep you, protect you and provide for you. So they're a very special sacred plant. But it's not just the plant. It's what the plant also gives to us in meaning and symbolism. We've called our gathering of Indigenous Christian leaders the grass tree gathering. Why was the grass tree word used for us? And this is what I remind my brothers and sisters when I'm in front of or with in a circle like this. This is what I tell them. You have the sweet nectar of the Creator. You give people life immediately. When people are cold and alone, you warm them up with the gift of adoption that only the people of the land are actually able to give in its truest and deepest sense. When people are hungry, we feed them. Don't forget that you've come from a long line of people who have done it tough, almost not survived, and yet are resilient and have. And also, remember, and this is where the spear shopping trolley thing comes, remember that your anger needs to be a righteous anger that's carried from God's justice. Point your spear carefully and well, and don't miss, because there's a lot that we need to finish in our nation, in our country, in our world, in order to start again well, but we need to do it in love. A lot of Aboriginal people have lost hope. It's only through Jesus that we have hope restored. I am so privileged to be Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander and know Jesus, because I can't deny that he brought me back to life and that he therefore has the power and opportunity to do it for others, our whole nation. Thank you for having us. If you ever see my painting, you know, in national galleries or international galleries, it was lovely to meet you.
They will be called trees of justice.
Planted by the Lord.
To honour his name.
Then they will rebuild cities
that have been in ruins
for many generations.
Isaiah 61, verse 3 and 4.
The Grass Tree Gathering in 2018 has brought together 85 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leaders from right across this land we now call Australia. They come from all different church backgrounds, all different ministries. And it's such an exciting time of God's Spirit moving in this land as we come together and we share our journey with the rest of Australia. We come from many generations. A beautiful thing about Grass Tree is our multi-generational approach. And for some of our Grass Tree delegates, this is their first time leaving their homelands. It's about creating a network of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leaders.
I think coming along to the Grass Tree conferences and gatherings are really important and quite vital to our Indigenous ministries. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people need the support of each other in our ministry groups right across the whole of Australia.
The importance of Aboriginal Christianity and Aboriginal ministry, really there's so much work being done out in the community by our Christian leaders. It's been good listening to Aunty Jean and listening to the stories of our elders that have passed and gone before and actually acknowledging them. We're able to be in ministry, be who we are as Aboriginal Christian leaders coming up because of our forefathers, our aunties and uncles that have gone before us. We're still faced with the challenges, the social injustice that our forefathers are faced with. Being able to come together, pray together, being prayerful together. So fired up after 2 days already, just so passionate. And I just know that when I leave here, I'm going to go back into my community and serve my community better, walk with my community better, listen with my community better, do what God has called me to do, His purpose on this earth.
Grass Tree is one of the most amazing experiences for our young Aboriginal Christian leaders. A lot of our young men are here too, and that they're being now encouraged to take their rightful place, to get out there in the community and become the leaders that we require and need today.
This is my first year to Grass Tree, and it's a privilege and honour to be here. The best thing about this is that as Christian leaders and as Christ followers, that we can all come together and to build on each other and to share ideas and understanding of different perspectives. It's amazing, and glory to God.
Where is this going to take me? Paving the path for future generations. Taking the hands of non-Indigenous Australians so that we can share this journey together with God.
Grass Tree, I think, is a really valuable get-together where Aboriginal Christian leaders, both established and emerging, can come together to network, to learn together, and to explore what it means to be an Aboriginal and Christian at the same time. In developing a uniquely Aboriginal theology, this is a valuable time to learn together, to come together, to explore ideas, and to network and to fellowship.
We would love to be able to have your support, because the truth is, we need you. But the other truth is, we actually want you. However, we need you to learn, we need you to pray, we need you to have very open ears and authentic, true, relatable hearts, so that we know we can keep trusting you for a very long time to come. We're a great people to get to know. You want to get to know us. So, let's meet. In a smoking ceremony, we use the gum leaf. The gum leaf symbolises healing. It symbolises welcome. It also symbolises new beginnings. So I want to give you a gum leaf. There you go. Come on the journey with us. Join us. Let's bring healing to this country, to all our peoples. We're going to do it together.
The most beautiful sight.
Peter, help! Peter.
So beautiful. So beautiful.
Good morning, I'm Jeff. I'm the third part in this three-part act, and I know you've been listening for a while. And perhaps more importantly than anything I'm going to say or anything any of us said is, I guess, how we've tried to model community together by working together, and we're going to continue doing that this week. So it's my privilege to be here with both Brooke and Safina. I want to tell you a little bit about my story in community because it helps me understand, I guess, what I do, both as a pastor and as a theologian, as someone who teaches theology. And the part of the story I'm going to start here in Pasadena. More than 20 years ago, when I came to the States to study at Fuller, and I was invited to be a part of what was called the LA Luce community in northwest Pasadena, one of the intentional housing communities run by Fuller back in the 90s, up on Los Robles in the corner of Washington. And I guess it was there I started to understand, in a way I'd never experienced before, the kind of relationships required to live intensely with your neighbour, to share meals together, We never shared income, that's a step beyond, but in a much deeper way than I'd experienced growing up or in churches. And since that sort of apprenticeship all those years ago, I've tried to, in various ways, repeat that in my ministry. So from here, I went back to Sydney, Australia, the inner city of Sydney, a place called Darlinghurst and King's Cross. It's the red light district of Sydney. I was there for 5 years, and on the streets of the inner city, learnt the importance of the kind of things I'd discovered here by being a part of LA Luz. So we had a house where seven of us lived together, this is before I had kids, to support each other for the work of that place, which was at times very intense and could easily be discouraged. Then from there I moved to the other side of Sydney, still not very far away from the city centre, and there we had a number of houses. I was senior pastor of that church, and the houses, we did a lot of things together. Again, to try and live into this vision of community we've been hearing about, both from Safina and Brooke, but also in our passage from Acts. So there's some of the experiences that shape how I now understand when I read passages like we did in Acts. But we've got to be careful, and there's a lot of romantic, I guess, nostalgia that goes into we read this passage from Acts. It seems like a golden age. For some people, it becomes a kind of model for the way church should really be. And I think we need to be careful of that kind of, in the trade, we call it a primitivist vision, wanting to get back to the way things were. But how do we, like they, seek to be faithful to Jesus Christ in our relationships with each other? That's the question I'm more interested in. And I guess it has many dimensions, and down through 2,000 years of experimentation, the church has found different ways, and sometimes this explains the different emphases we have in our different gatherings, our different denominations. Some seek a God-focused community with sharing of very tangible things like worship together, possessions, the kind of thing we read about in Acts 2. Others are very focused on a Jesus-shaped community of forgiveness and reconciliation, where those practices of relational forgiveness are very central. Others are more spirit-led community, whether that be through service or love or other things. I guess you've heard about the Hillsong phenomena here. I know it's now moved into the States in a big way, but that's certainly had a big impact on the Australian church. But all of those, I think, need to take their cue from another verse that Matt alluded to earlier on. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, we read these words, "Until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, that is, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." I've spent a lot of time thinking about this word maturity as it relates to who we are as Christians, not just individually as we often think about it, what it means to be a mature Christian, but what it means to be mature Christians as a community together. And so in teaching ecclesiology, that's the study of the church, the subject I teach, I warn future pastors and leaders of churches against three contemporary seductions, I think, for the Christian community. And I think this word maturity, or being mature, actually is a helpful reminder. A lot of people who become pastors, a lot of people who are part of churches, want to be part of a healthy community. That's perhaps driven by some psychological perspectives. Others want to grow a successful church community, perhaps driven by more sociological concerns. Still others want to manage an effective church community, perhaps organisational perspectives. Now, I've been a pastor, senior pastor of two different churches in the last 20 years, and I love it when church communities I lead are healthy, successful and effective. But that's not their goal. The goal is not to be healthy or successful or even effective. The goal here, according to Ephesians chapter 4, their goal in Christ is to be mature. And certainly my experience in being the inner city of Sydney is churches are not always full of healthy people. Some people bring a lot of past trauma and abuse, mental health and other things. And the problem with the healthy church is it makes people who are not healthy sometimes feel as they're not welcome. The problem with a successful church is there's only so much success to share around. Most of the churches I've pastored have actually been within 3 miles of Hillsong churches, the two big Hillsong churches in Sydney. Now, they're successful churches, and they do some fantastic work. I've got friends involved. But if being successful looks like that, then I stand before you today as probably one of the least successful pastors in Sydney, because my churches don't look like that. So we can see how these goals, as worthy as they are, they're not the true goal of the Christian community. And so we need to rethink what we are doing. And then we come back to these passages, like we read in Acts, that try and describe not a model of the way we should be, but a model of what maturity might actually look like. The passage we heard in Acts 2, the passage from Acts 4. And the other descriptions, like we hear from Ephesians 4 or Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 11 to 14, that all emphasise a community where there is the power of work, as Brooke has described it, that interdependence. So I'm going to invite Brooke and Safina back up, and we're going to read to you, I'm going to do full circle, the community I lived here in northwest Pasadena, Alelus, comes from the Greek for one another. And so we're going together read the various one another passages, in fact, all of them in the New Testament. And as you listen, you might just hear one or two that you might discern are going to be important for this season of Knox as a community. What are some of the things, the one anothering, that we are meant to be doing together? And so as we listen, and then I think Elise is going to subtly... Oh, she's already there. Look at that. Amazing. Well done, Elise. She's already somehow appeared there. So here again, what we are, the kind of relationships we are called to be as a mature community. We are to outdo one another in showing honour.
Live in harmony with one another.
Welcome one another.
We are to admonish one another.
Greet one another with a holy kiss.
Wait for one another.
We are to have the same care for one another.
Be servants of one another.
Bear one another's burdens.
We are to comfort one another.
Build one another up.
Be at peace with one another.
We are to do good to one another.
Bear with one another lovingly.
Be kind and compassionate to one another.
It's a good one for male pastors like me. We are to be subject to one another.
One of the things Aboriginal people are often criticised about is not forgiving, but I say we have to forgive each and every day, and we have already forgiven. And so we are to forgive one another.
Confess our sins to one another.
Pray for one another.
Love one another from the heart.
Be hospitable to one another.
Meet one another with humility.
Have fellowship with one another.
I pray you may discover maturity as a community here at Knox through practicing leaning into some of those one another ministries.